When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining me on today's Janice Dean podcast. We've got Jason Chaffetz in the studio today because I wanted to bring him on to talk about this week's State of the Union address. He is the perfect person to talk about it because he's witnessed many of them in person as a former member of Congress and the former chair of the House Oversight Committee. And as you will hear, he's got some pretty awesome stories from past State of the Union addresses. I always enjoy our conversations together, and he let me in on a new project he's working on that he can't say too much about, but enough to make us look forward to hearing much more. Please welcome Fox News contributor and New York Times bestselling author, host of the Jason in the House podcast, Jason Chaffetz. Jason Chaffetz, you made the Dean's List.
So glad to be with you. You're so fun.
Oh, listen, this happened very quickly because you and I saw each other in the hall. Well, no, in the, what would you call that? In a hall? That's not a hallway. It's a passageway here in Fox News Radio. And we started talking about the State of the Union because you said you're going to attend this week.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the State of the Union. I'm from Canada. They don't have it.
Right.
They don't do this kind of thing, this pomp and circumstance where the president gets up and says, the state of our union is strong. I love it. I've been watching it since, well, let's see. I probably saw President Clinton. Of course, I saw President Reagan. I remember when it was postponed because of the Challenger.
Right.
Remember?
Right.
And we all watched it. And it was one of the most, I'll never forget it because it just was so heartfelt. He talked about it. It brought the nation together. I felt it was one of those moments.
You know, I grew up in a family where my parents, we would watch 60 Minutes.
Yes.
We would watch nightly news.
Old would this start?
Oh, from my earliest childhood memories.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My parents really did. In fact, when I grew up, I had to, I couldn't watch television when I eat like breakfast or lunch. But particularly the breakfast, what my parents started to do is put a newspaper in front of me. First, it was the comics, then it was the sports, then it grew to the whole paper. And I just kind of grew up on a daily basis. That's what I did as I looked at the paper.
Wow.
And I learned how to read a box score and do those types of things as a little kid. And so when there were national events, like I remember, I'm old enough to remember when Patty Hearst was like, you know, hostage and, you know,
yes,
was she brainwashed and all
yes.
that. And we were out in California, the Manson murders. I was like a little tiny kid, but we lived in that area of Northern California.
Oh, my goodness.
So national news stories were really a big deal. And I remember as a kid, not like I can't pinpoint a specific one, but when there was a State of the Union, our family stopped and we all sat by the television and we watched it.
Yeah. It's very important.
And it, you know, the clerk of the house or the, it would come in and he'd say, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the president of the United States.
Yes. Dun, 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 dun,
and it was
dun,
a big
dun,
moment, right?
Absolutely.
And so it was, and then to get elected to Congress and be able to sit in on the floor while that happens was just iconic to me. I mean, my first State of the Union was Barack Obama's first State of the Union.
Wow. And you have quite a story to tell about that.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty amazing. And back in, at least then, they used to hand out like a little bit of a program.
Really?
You actually would get a document. Okay. And then as the speech started, they would hand you the speech so you could look through it. Now, they don't do that anymore, but at least for Obama's first one, they did.
How did you get in? Because there's no assigned seating.
Yeah. So the House, as a House member, you get one ticket.
Oh, you can't bring the spouse.
Well, you can bring the spouse, but that means you can't bring anybody else.
Okay, so
you get one ticket.
Okay.
You get to sit on the floor. Inevitably, not every member of Congress shows up. And so they bring in other chairs. They fill it up. Then they allow the cabinet members to come in. Some of them are seated in the front.
Okay.
But then they will bring in the diplomatic corps. And based on a ranking that they do, the most senior ambassadors will be able to sit kind of in the aisles, if you will, to mm-hmm. help fill it in. And then if there's any extra seats, then some of the senior staff from the House or the Senate will get a chance to crowd. You know, you typically will see the president leave and there'll be a whole bunch of younger people kind of wanting to shake hands or get their face on camera. But the way it works is they clear it out for security purposes. All the members, everybody has to leave. They do dogs. They do all kinds of air sampling. I mean, wow. That is as secure a facility as there can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, which is, I don't know, 3:00 in the afternoon or something, then they open it up and a member can wander over at any time and sit in any seat. Now, it always bugged me as a House member, the senators got reserved seats up front. I'm like, this is the House of Representatives. Those guys should sit in the back.
Did you say that?
You never got anywhere.
But you have a point.
Well, they could sit in the back, and the cooler senators would. Like Senator Tim Scott was very good friends with Trey Gowdy.
Yes.
They like to sit together.
Okay. That's cute. That's like their grade school or something.
There's no way Trey's getting there early. Trey doesn't get there early for anything.
So Tim Scott would save him a seat?
Well, whoever got there first would, but it inevitably was like the terrible seats in the back of the seat, way back.
Right.
So some of them, you know, they want to be right there up front.
Of course.
But it's kind of a show that way. But I would go about 2 hours early and, you know, just chat. It's freezing cold in there.
Really?
Because when they finally crank up the lights,
it gets warm.
It gets really warm.
Like a TV studio.
But it's freezing in there. And, you know, some members come early, some don't. I came in kind of in the middle of the group. I was earlier than a lot of them, but not first in line.
And you're planning to go this year.
So even as a former member, you get to go.
That's awesome. I didn't
know
that.
So, yeah. I'm going to actually
be on the broadcast. Do you have to RSVP or anything? How does that work?
No, you show up. You got to pay.
Really?
Yeah. You just show up.
But
if they don't have space, like, current members, you got to let them fill in. But then at the end, inevitably, there's still seats.
Okay.
And you just kind of fill in.
Wow.
Democrats were terrible. When Donald Trump became president, huge numbers of them did not show up. And that meant more seats.
Wow. But what does that say? You know?
It was bad. Probably the worst experience I think I had was when Donald Trump was president. And he was recognizing some American heroes. I mean, ordinary Americans who did extraordinary things. Military, police, people who had lost loved ones, served their country. Those were not moments to be Donald Trump political and let Trump derangement syndrome come. These were moments where we all should have stood and clapped. And I looked over at a lot of Democrats, not all of them, but a lot of them who sat there on their hands and would not stand up. And I thought, that's
so pathetic.
It's just so wrong. You know, and I'm sure Democrats have plenty to complain about with Republicans, but their types, State of the Union should be one of unity too. You know, you want the president to do well. It's good for the good of the nation. And you can disagree with policy,
mm-hmm.
But I've had some funny experiences too.
Okay, give it to me.
So in one of the Obama speeches, because I sat through 8 of them, in one of the Obama speeches, I was sitting kind of in the middle of the pack. Now, I do not know technologically how they do this, but they seem to have cameras on every member of Congress at all times, no matter what.
How?
I don't know how it happens, but they must have these 360-degree views because Barack Obama told this lame joke. He was talking about spilled milk being like an oil spill.
Oh, and during his speech?
During his speech. And when he said this joke, which was clearly a joke, and it didn't land very well, even he started to smile. And I made the, what do you call that thing?
Like the drum thing.
Yeah, like the.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I just kind of instinctively did that.
Yeah.
And somehow on one of the late night television shows, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, yeah. They caught that.
Really?
They did a whole thing about that.
So is that on YouTube? I have to watch that.
Oh, it's definitely on YouTube.
Okay.
And it's pretty funny because Jimmy Kimmel actually did a really good job because they did this and he played the joke. And then he said, well, and the president had some other jokes.
Yeah.
And so then he made up some other jokes.
Okay.
And it was really funny.
And they used you again?
Yes. You just have to watch it because it really was funny. It was just
this
a spontaneous moment. And I didn't know that it happened until the next night.
And is this your first time at
It wasn't the first time. It was like fourth or something.
Okay.
But like it just happened. You're just in the audience. I just kind of went like that. Like, all right, that was a lame joke. Next thing I know, it becomes this whoops.
That is amazing. I love that story. And then you have a teleprompter story.
Okay, yeah. So we're sitting there, and I was with another member, and I can't remember who. And we're just sitting there, and they set up the whole thing hours in advance. Well, we're about 45 minutes before the Obama speech, and they really turn on the lights and everything about 30 minutes before. That's when the cameras are going live, and they're showing live shots. And all. Up until then, they keep the lights down low, you know, so it doesn't get too hot. Mm-hmm. And then they flip on the lights, and all the cameras and, you know, cable news and everybody's going live. But about 45 minutes before, I'm sitting there and they had set up this teleprompter. And a teleprompter is about the size of your computer screen.
Okay.
It's maybe a little bit bigger than that. There's one on your right, one on your left. Mm-hmm. And they're on a tripod. And I have no idea how this happened because there was nobody standing anywhere close.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, this one teleprompter just started to fall and it crashed. It literally fell over and you heard the glass broke and that could have easily happened in the middle of his speech. And it's not like it's windy in there.
Yeah.
I have no idea what happened, but somehow that thing got off balance and it just fell and they scrambled in and they fixed it and it was all fine.
Wow.
But it was.
And how long was this before he came out to do the speech?
Oh, about 45 minutes, but probably 30 minutes before everybody was live.
Oh,
nobody was
wow.
broadcasting it.
Yeah,
so that's
yeah,
why I don't
yeah.
think there's like a picture or a video of it.
Huh.
And it was like this ghost came and like pushed this thing over.
Oh my goodness.
It was pretty funny.
Now we're talking about President Biden doing his State of the Union address. How do you think he's going to do?
So Biden has typically done okay, mm-hmm. but he has lost so much of his voice and his step. Now, I have seen from afar, but when Biden has been giving a lot of speeches now, his teleprompter is massive. It's like a jumbotron. Think of like
you were telling me this.
It's huge.
How do they? But is there a picture of that? The fact.
Oh,
that,
yeah. My guess is if you Google or go to DuckDuckGo and just type in, you know.
And is it a like
presidential
just a big machine?
Teleprompter or Biden teleprompter? You know, a teleprompter. You know, we use them in television. We use them
yeah, of course.
In all kinds of stuff.
And they're small.
But they're small.
Yeah.
They're like.
I need my glasses now if I'm
yeah, they're
one.
Like the size of a computer screen.
Yep.
You know, big font, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been using a teleprompter at the White House that is massive. It is a huge, like, I'm not kidding. It's like a 75 or 85 inch television with the biggest font you've ever seen.
Oh, my.
Now, you can't do that. In the House of Representatives. So he's going to be working from a smaller teleprompter. But this is, you know, somebody that advanced, somebody with that much experience, this should be just second nature. You don't even notice it. Donald Trump's very good at it. Barack Obama was good at it, made it mm-hmm. smooth, made it natural. And they knew the material. And I think the question is, can he even make it up and down the podium?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of gaffes? And where Biden typically gets into trouble is when he ad-libs.
Yeah.
You know, if he sticks to the prompter and just reads the words on the prompter, but he hasn't been able to do that lately.
This is something as Americans we should be concerned about. I mean, I don't care what your politics are, whether you like them or not. He is the leader of the free world. And if he gets up there and, you know, stumbles or whatever, or can't read the prompter, this does not look good, Jason.
I know. It's one thing to disagree on policy. And look, with Barack Obama, there's a lot of times I didn't stand up and applaud because I didn't agree with the policy. But that's a far cry and far different than showing the world in a united way that we're behind our troops that are serving overseas, that we as a nation are united in things that are bigger than individual policies.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what you worry about, is not that he may say, hey, the border's secure, and everybody may boo on the Republican side and cheer on the Democrat. That's different than I talked to the president of Ireland.
Right.
And it, you know, our border is secure. You know, if he does something like that.
Yeah.
Or just mumbles or just stumbles.
It's embarrassing.
And that's what you worry about, because everybody, I think, knows he's prone to doing this.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's going to be on edge, because it's not like he can give just a 10-minute, 15-minute. And look, the Joe Biden of old, the one that I knew as vice president, I once went over to the White House and a group of eight of us met with him. It was about Syria. And he said, listen, I know you don't want to get a lecture, but I want to have a very interactive discussion with you about Syria and the Middle East. But let me just lay the foundation. But again, just as a foundation, then we'll have this interaction.
Mm-hmm.
An hour and a half later, he was still talking.
Wow.
But what I'm trying to show is he had this vibrancy.
Yeah.
And it wasn't always coherent. It wandered and went all over the place. But he was a talker.
Right.
Like he this was who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, tells a funny story about when he was first elected to the Senate.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it justice, but he said, when I was first elected to the Senate, I went on a CODEL. It's a congressional delegation trip to, I think it was Afghanistan or Iraq, with Joe Biden, who was a senator then. And he said, I made the mistake of saying to Joe Biden, so Joe, tell me about how you got into Congress, or how'd you get to the Senate? So he did that on the way to the airport. And when we landed in Afghanistan, Joe said, I'll tell you the rest of the story in the car.
That is great. That's a great story.
But he's a talker. And the concern is that with the State of the Union, he's just not, you know.
I mean, is there a chance?
And if he gets through it, everybody will be like, wow, he got there. Look how vibrant he is.
Right.
But the standard that he has right now is mm-hmm. so low. And I think the length of the speech
it's going to be shorter.
I can't imagine that he's going to give an hour and 15, which is pretty typical to what a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
Can he talk contiguously these speeches get interrupted by applause a lot.
Right. And that gives you kind of a reprieve.
Take a deep breath.
Yep.
Look where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Check your mark. But yes, wasn't an issue with Clinton or with Obama or with either of the Bush presidents or Donald Trump. I mean, it's just, we haven't been in this territory.
I fear that a lot of people are going to be watching this, unlike other years, and be on the edge of their seat, like with a sick feeling in their stomach, instead of like, I'm watching this, I feel good to be American, I'm so proud of our president. I feel it's like it's going to be like a reality TV show.
Yeah. It's a worry, you know, and there's a lot of antics and a lot of other things, and every moment is analyzed, but it should be. This is the free world, you know, this is the United States coming together, and it's a presidential year. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
And we'll be back with more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
What are you feeling these days? Is it still exciting, or is it kind of boring because we know the two guys that are going to be in it? What do you feel?
No, like, I think it's still exciting.
You
like,
do?
I still don't believe that Joe Biden will actually be the nominee.
You don't?
Oh,
what do you think's going to happen?
I thought for a long time that.
Well, how is that going to happen?
You know, the August convention that the Democrats are going to have is going to be fascinating.
Wow.
Because I really do believe we're one stumble, bad stumble away from saying, all right, that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right.
But I don't know where the Democrats are going to go or what they're going to do. I just, you know, they're so ingrained in identity politics, and I don't believe there's a natural succession that happens with Kamala Harris, that I think the Democrats are left wondering, what are we going to do and where are we going to go? And, you know, we're always one beat away from some national disaster or terrorist attack or something. And just the warnings that we've had from our intelligence officials have never been stronger. I mean, they keep telling us we're getting more warnings than we did before 9/11. So beware. We haven't had as high of an alert as we've had right now. So, you know, I worry about those types of things. And yeah, there's not much legislation that's going to pass in Congress. That's always true in a presidential year. That's just always true with divided government. I mean, when you have... So I don't expect much to happen or come out of Congress, but we got a lot of big weighty issues. But I'm an eternal optimist.
You are.
Yeah. It's always sunny.
There you go.
Partly sunny.
I'm mostly sunny.
Mostly sunny.
There's always a little storm cloud in the background that could happen at
could
any
erupt
time.
Could erupt a tsunami or a...
So what else is going on in your world? Obviously, you're on every TV show that you can cram into your schedule, and you've got your podcast. What's on the horizon for you?
Well, on the family side, I just became a grandpa for like the fifth time.
Which we can't believe,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, I did. My wife and I, we're still kind of pinching ourselves. We have 5 grandkids and 1 more on the way.
Wow.
And, you know, our 3 kids, it just seems like yesterday it goes by so fast. Now all 3 of them are married. Our daughter got married less than a year ago.
Do they all live close to you?
We're very fortunate that way. Yes, okay. They all live in Utah. And that keeps us on our toes and busy. So the personal side's going great.
Yeah.
Work-wise, it's just... It's fun. And I, you know, I did the Puppeteers book, The People Who Control, The
yes.
People Who Control America. That did really well.
Yes, it did.
So I did 4 books, 3 of which have been on New York Times bestsellers.
Are you writing another one?
I am.
You are?
Yes.
Can you give us like a little sneak preview?
No.
You can't?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Not even a little tidbit of something?
It'll be good.
When is that supposed to come out?
It's probably a good 10 months out.
Right.
We're right in the thick of finishing up the research. Then I have to write it. Then we got to get it published. You know how this takes.
I know how it works. And I'll tell you.
It takes longer than you think.
It does.
Not a magazine.
It's stressful.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Because it changes, it bobs and weaves, then you get new information and something gets like, oh, I want to illuminate that more or
yeah.
Got to do more research here. This is a very research intensive project.
Wow.
But I love that part of it.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
Learning stuff.
Look, I was chairman of the oversight committee because I am like naturally curious and inquisitive and just have this intellectual curiosity that just drives me. Like, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me. And then, wait, why? Like, how did you... Wait, what?
Yeah.
You did what? Why did you do that? Like,
listen, I'm grateful to Representative Wenstrup, who's doing great work with the subcommittee on the coronavirus, including the New York part of it. He's doing more work than New York will ever do on the coronavirus.
Brad Wenstrup. He's a national hero. I mean, the guy, his service in our military, he was there on the ball field when Steve Scalise was hit and shot. And it was Brad Wenstrup, the doctor, who had seen these similar types of wounds in his service in Iraq that was actually right there. It's like one was playing shortstop and the other was playing second base.
Yes.
I mean, he was like right there. And he was able to give him first aid in order to get that helicopter to get him to get Steve Scalise to the hospital to save his life. He is just such a good guy. And I was so pleased when he was appointed as the chair of this this review because he is a doctor. He does have military experience. He's just a good, honest, decent person. And he will get to the truth. He's tenacious.
I'm really grateful. And just the stuff that he's getting from... I can't even remember his name now. The, like, Mr. COVID himself, Dr.
Oh, Fauci.
Fauci.
Yes. It's a good name to forget. I get it.
I mean, he's apparently coming out with a book, too. But do you feel like people don't want to know about it? I feel like people...
Oh, no. I think they do.
They do?
Oh,
I
yeah.
hope so.
Yeah.
I do. Because I feel like I'm craving for more information, obviously, because of my family and my history with what happened here in New York. But we have to get to the bottom of what happened to go forward, because if it happens again, we can't have the disaster that it was.
Yeah, I think the kind of silent majority, they do care. They do want the information. They understand how vitally important it is. I mean, your family was right in the thick of it. And my heart goes out to you and your family in such a way. But COVID touched all of America. I mean, and socially, the addiction issues,
yeah.
The loved ones who passed away where you weren't able to say goodbye. I mean,
the kids
and their education. I mean, it was just a crazy, stupid time. And of course we have to do it. That's why I love the Oversight Committee, is because sunshine is the best disinfectant. Mm-hmm. And if you're an idiot, if you don't go figure out what happened, so you don't repeat the same mistakes, because yeah. we are going to have, I worry, because we're going to have some sort of pandemic or something, and their trust level in government and is just near zero. And so that's a concern.
Yeah. Even the cyber attack stuff. Like I just did an interview with a pharmacist talking about the hacking that went on in with pharmaceuticals just recently. Yeah. It's been a week now. Got into the database, is still in there, and they cannot help insurance cut down on the price of pharmaceuticals for prescription drugs. My son has a prescription that I would have had to pay $1,000 for. Whoa. Because they can't get into the system to bring the insurance in to bring down the cost. And it's still happening, Jason. And it's almost like people, because they don't quite understand it, are not paying attention. But this kind of thing has tentacles.
Yeah.
Like this kind of hacking that is still happening, that is going into our system and getting our data.
Yeah.
They know everything. And that's the stuff that scares me, is the cyber stuff.
So Peter Schweizer just came out with a book called Blood Money.
He's brilliant.
And I do some work with them. But this Blood Money book, I had a chance to read the advanced copy. It's like just come out. But the way China uses TikTok and other tools to not just spy, but to manipulate Americans.
Yes.
And to create chaos, and way some of these people who live in China are spending money to divide America, whether it be through these different protest groups or, you know, pushing fentanyl into our communities. Think about this. And I don't want to dwell on Peter Schweizer's Blood Money book, but if you're a drug cartel like the Sinaloa cartel, why would you want to kill your customers?
Right.
You wouldn't want to do that, right?
Yeah.
The Chinese do. And so they're the ones that are actually going into Mexico. They're the ones that are actually pushing the drug cartels. And they're saying, hey, you can make a lot of money and you can launder that money through our banks here in China. But you know what? You're going to use these products, which will ultimately kill 100,000 Americans.
Yeah.
And so if you really kind of read through Blood Money and some of the serious allegations, I mean, these are just allegations, but read it for yourself. Hundreds and hundreds of citations in terms of documentation, then yeah, we can't just put our head in sand and be oblivious to it. So whether it's COVID or what's happening with fentanyl, there's reasons why this stuff happens, or TikTok. And most people say, I don't do anything wrong, so what do I care?
Mm.
You care. If you knew what they were doing and how they were doing it.
And how it's going to affect your family at some point.
Yeah, that might be a good idea for a book.
Did you just give me a hint?
I don't know.
I got a little hint out of him. I did. Well, I love having you on the podcast. I will be on yours at some point.
Yes.
We'll talk about the
weather. You've been on the past, and I'm going to have you on again. It's been fun. I love interacting. It's just fun to hang out with you.
Well, I appreciate it always. You're a good human.
Better in person.
Good,
this
human.
Is good.
I agree. I mean, there is something about having the person in front of you that you're... I mean, the Zoom stuff is fine, but it is. It's a dialogue. Yeah. We just need like a cheeseburger and a beer in front of us.
Yeah, you have the beer. I'm having the cheeseburger.
Okay, sounds good. All right, my friend, Jason Chaffetz, thank you so much for being on the Dean's List.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Jason Chaffetz for joining me today for another fun, interesting, and informative discussion. You can catch Jason on his podcast, Jason in the House, and, of course, as a contributor on Fox News. His latest book is called The Puppeteers, and keep an eye out for a new release from Jason in the not too distant future. Don't forget the State of the Union address will take place Thursday, March 7th. You can watch it on the Fox News channel and hear it live on Fox News Radio. Thank you to all of my listeners. If you have someone you think should make the Dean's List, let me know at Janice Dean on Twitter or Janice Dean FNC on Instagram. Or you can rate this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.